You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers. I am your host, Harrison Fagan. Not with me today is Anthony Irwin, and normally I would give him a lot of crap for missing a show, but he has a pretty good excuse today. His grandma passed away this morning, and so we will be filling in for him, and I just wanted to say, like, you know, Anthony's one of my best friends, and this is like, just like, send thoughts and prayers to his family. If you do that, just send him good vibes, and just, I think he's doing okay, but I just wanted to, like, you know, get some, like, positive vibes sent his way. So on that awkward segue, we are going to go ahead and just jump right into talking about Lakers basketball, because that's what Anthony would want me to do anyway. And just real quick, as always, you can find the show on iTunes, Panoply, Megaphone, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify now. You can get our show on Spotify. Yeah, you can get
that's
it everywhere.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so that voice that you just heard, and I probably missed some show spots still, but it's fine. We eventually get around to naming all of them. And this is why I'm not the primary host. But joining me today is Jared Eprim, one of our sports editors at the Daily Titan. And he is going to ably fill in for Anthony. Some might argue fill in better than Anthony could.
I am not arguing that. Let's just make that clear. That is not me saying I'm better than Anthony.
Just based on our iTunes reviews, they may say.
I read through a few of those today, and I was like, "All right, I'm just hoping that no one's bashing me, even though this might be my only."
You might be better than, so like, one, our only other Daily Titan guest in Locked On Lakers history so far is Bryant Freeze, who also does stuff with me at Lakers Nation. And the funniest iTunes review we've ever gotten compared him to a drunk TJ Miller. And
jeez.
Yeah, so you might get roasted. We'll find out.
As long as I can do better than Bryant, I think that's fine.
I think you can probably clear Bryant's bar. So all right, let's anyway, do it. The Lakers won today. They beat the New York Knicks in, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say like an upset victory, because the Knicks aren't very good, but the Lakers generally aren't expected to win without Lonzo. They got their first Lonzo-less victory Friday, obviously.
Yeah.
And now they're on a two-game win streak behind play from Julius Randle and Jordan Clarkson without Lonzo, just kind of like we all predicted going into the season, right?
Yeah, I think the thing that's not surprising, I mean, a Lakers victory at home is the thing that's less surprising, because typically with young teams, they're better at home, and then they go on the road and they kind of lose their sorts. So we saw that with the Knicks. I know that for the beginning of the season, like when they went on that little win streak and they were in the playoff hunt, all of their wins came at home. It's the same thing with the Lakers. They play better. Obviously, Randle and Clarkson, though these are kind of inflated stats than usual, they tend to play better at home than on the road. So I'm not really surprised. Maybe the 20-point victory margin is a little large.
The Knicks really seemed to kind of give up at the end there. They were just like, it was just, they were offering really no resistance on defense. They were going to try and score
I think it was like 113-106 the last time out. And
yeah.
I guess the Lakers just went on a, what is that, 14-1 run?
Yeah, the Knicks really just stopped helping each other. They were just like, all right, we're just going to get out of here. We aren't coming back in this game. It was kind of just the way that you see a young team fold on the road. We've seen that some from the Lakers this year, although generally they've been pretty good about fighting till the end. The other guy that led to this victory was Locked On Lakers fan favorite, hopefully future guest, Alex Caruso, the Caruso God, Big Balder Brand. He went off today. He did not start the game, although you would think he would based on his minutes distribution. He played 31 minutes, went 4 of 6 from the field, scored 9 points, had 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, just really kind of stuffed the box score, didn't even turn the ball over, and which is kind of surprising considering how fast the Lakers played and how much he was in transition. And he really basically just played Ennis right out of the lineup. Ennis played 11 minutes, got yanked pretty quickly in the second half, didn't score, had 2 assists, continued to be really bad. And like, I don't have the exact counter on how many days Caruso has spent with the Lakers so far, but it's getting to the point where he's got to be getting up against that 45-day mark. And I'm at the point where watching, and you could tell me as somebody who's not a Lakers fan, your kind of opinion on this, but I'm at the point where Caruso has played well enough that some arbitrary days kind of restriction is not a good reason to send him back down to the G League, and he really should be the Lakers' primary backup at this point. And then I think maybe if that means that you have to cut Ennis and give him his roster spot, I think you do that, and then you see what Gary Payton II can bring you. I don't know. Like, just from afar, what are your kind of thoughts on
that? Yeah, I think that's fair. This is a young team. Obviously, they don't have aspirations for this season. There, one thing would probably be to not let the Celtics get the pick that they owe, but I don't think they're worried about that.
I don't think the team's worried about it. I think that's like a fan thing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But the one thing that you said was like, it's not a good excuse just because it's the 45-day count that they wouldn't be able to keep him. Like, they let Ennis have his run. He's played in most of these games that Lonzo's been out. He hasn't looked good. The team hasn't looked good. So there's no real reason to keep giving him these runs where you have someone who's shown, oh, maybe he can give us 10-6 or whatever in however many minutes we play him. Let him get some runs in. Let's see how he can play with different like lineup variations. Like today he came off the bench but played predominantly with Clarkson. Let's just see what he can do. He hasn't been shooting a lot, but I don't think that's what the team needs. I just think they need a facilitator and someone who can get, like, just do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about Caruso here in a second. Okay, so I think the other thing that we've kind of always talked about with him is that he just plays a little bit, like, he's never going to be Lonzo, but you mentioned that they don't really need him to score, and that's accurate. Yeah. Like, the guy that he would be replacing in the starting lineup when Lonzo is injured, to be clear, I don't think either of us are arguing to start him over Lonzo on a regular basis.
I mean, I can do that if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to go no, for that negative iTunes review.
No, I like Lonzo.
Yeah. Lonzo's going to be good, but, like, if he continues to be in and out of the lineup, and Caruso ends up in that starting spot, he fills that a little bit more ably than Ennis does. Ennis is more of a guy, like, he can kind of take things as they come, but he's more naturally like he's going to try and score.
Yeah.
And whereas Lonzo, that's not him at all. And so Caruso, just by playing kind of like a poor man's Lonzo, the Lakers seem to play with better pace while he's on the floor. He tries to outlet the ball a little bit more, a little bit like Lonzo does. And you're just, for continuity's sake, you're better off, I think, playing with him. And like, Ennis has the advantage of he's with the NBA team the whole year. Like, he's not getting sent down to the G League.
Yeah.
And he's had all the chances in the world, even starting last season, to develop chemistry with these guys. And he just hasn't seized that roster spot in the way that you'd want him to, I think, if you were going to continue to start him. So for me, it's just like, they got to give Caruso his roster spot, I think, at some point coming up here. And maybe that comes after the trade deadline. They see kind of what shakes out in the buyout market, what deals are on the table for them, if they can use Ennis' salary for anything. And I think that is when maybe that move would be made. But Caruso just made it more clear today that I think that's like the way to go going
forward. Yeah, definitely. And I think the interesting thing about the trade deadline is I think they'd be waiting a little too long. Because they're always like, among Laker fans, at least, there's a line that's obvious, like, where you can split Lakers fans. Like, we think Randall's good and he should stay, and we think Randall should be traded. So when you're playing with someone like Ennis, who's predominantly a scorer, he doesn't really do much else for you, it's kind of hard to get Randall, like, this is his last time to show, like, I'm a part of this team, I should be a member, I should be paid like a good rotation player. When you get Caruso in there, he's willing to be passive with the ball, like, okay, I don't need the ball in my hands. Obviously, I can do things if necessary, but that's not what I'm on the floor for. So giving people like Randall and Clarkson and Ingram just the opportunity to carry the team and show what they are as young players, I think is good, because it gives not only the player confidence in himself, but like the other players will look at them like, oh, we know he can get a bucket.
Yeah, it's like he's got our back.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If we're missing a guy, like, this guy's going to go to war with us. He's going to step up.
Yeah, I think the thing that with Lonzo being injured is just like, no one on the team really know who to give the ball to. Because I know a lot of the offense still runs through Ingram. Even when Lonzo was playing, he would not necessarily be the one bringing the ball up, but, you know, he'd be the first pass. They'd run things for him, screens, off screens, things like that. But just having, like, that centerpiece where everyone can look to, like, okay, we know we're 0-for-6 on our last 6 shots. Like, we can get the ball to him and he can create something. And I think when you have Caruso on the floor, he's not going to be that guy, but he can set up that guy in a way that Ennis can't.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And like you talked a little bit about your kind of thoughts on like Clarkson briefly there, but you had a little bit of a hot take that I'm going to reveal before we started recording. You said you thought Clarkson was the Lakers' best guard. The last like two games he's played like it. He had 29 points today. He was on fire again. Last game he is actually like I think he's averaging like 29, 28 points now, or like about 30 points a game since he was locked out of Instagram. And
I saw that on Twitter today.
He is desperate to get back into his DMs. Like, yeah. Why are you so high on Clarkson? And as somebody who is, I'm not going to reveal your fandom because I don't want you to get blasted unless you want to reveal it. But as someone who is, let's say, a fan of an Eastern Conference team, is he
an Eastern Conference juggernaut? Eastern Conference juggernaut.
So it's the Celtics. I'm going to put you on blast just for saying that. But is he a guy that, like, if you like are looking at the rest of the East, is he a guy that you think that somebody should be like trying to make a move for if they need backcourt help, or like why are you so high on him?
I think the thing with me is that Lonzo's young. I mean, they're all young, but I mean, Lonzo's a first year point guard, and we've seen over the years that first year point guards struggle. I don't have high expectations for him right now. But like right now, I think that if a team was in need of like a third guard, like, kind of playing that Patty Mills role on the Spurs, even though he starts sometimes. I think that, like, plugging him into a team that already has two solid guards, he'd be good because he's off the bench, he scores, he can facilitate necessary, like we saw today. He finished with 10 assists.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, he had a double double.
Yeah, good for him. He needs to get back into that Instagram account. Yeah. He's going to be getting some DMs at this point.
For Lakers fans, probably just want him to stay off if he's going to continue to play like
this.
Yeah,
true.
But for himself. I don't know. I just think that it's hard to argue that any team, obviously trading for Lonzo, that's different. He's a rookie. He was the number 2 overall pick. There's obvious upside. But for a lot of their more established young players, I think that Clarkson's the obvious, like, the best player. I don't really think there's an argument with
that. I mean, I think he's been really bad at points this year. Definitely, too, which you have to acknowledge.
But they all have.
Yeah, and he'd be better on a better team. Like, I mean, this is trite, because like everybody's better on a better team.
Yes.
But Clarkson is one of those guys where when he has it rolling, you can see how good he'd look if he was coming off a team, off the bench for a team that had any spacing whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers are, I think, still the worst three-point shooting team in the league, or they're close to it, even though Brook Lopez has been doing his best, like, 7-foot Steph Curry impersonation lately. But they're still, like, a garbage three-point shooting team, and teams don't respect them from, like, behind the arc. And if Clarkson, like, had more room to operate, like, some of these finishes that he's been having lately are insane. Like, if he was just dealing with kind of single coverage, I think it's kind of, there is legitimate basketball argument, and this isn't me just offering a teaser trailer for Eastern Conference GMs. Like, there is a legitimate basketball argument to trade for Clarkson. His money's not, like, that prohibitive either.
Yeah.
The Lakers want to move off of it because they want to get these two max guys this summer, and we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Yeah.
But, he is a guy that you could see helping a playoff team in the right situation.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I know it's easy to say, like, if this player was on a better team, and we're all like, oh, what if he was on the Spurs? Like, that's the thing. Like, everyone's like, oh, put him on the Spurs and he's great. Yeah, everyone's going to
He's going to figure it out in 10 years on the Spurs.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
Okay, so,
really?
So would literally everyone.
Yeah, and like, even like the Warriors, Boston, Cleveland. Although I do think Clarkson could be like a viable option for Cleveland as a backup guard. Because obviously, like, since Iman Shumpert's been there, they don't want to play him, and that's obvious. Calderon's not good. Derrick Rose.
Lakers fans are more than aware that Calderon is not good.
Well, yeah, you guys had your run. But Derrick Rose doesn't even know if he wants to play basketball, and it's been 3 years of that. And, like, bringing him off the bench next
to Isaiah Thomas, like, who knows what he's going to be like for the rest
like,
of the
we
year.
We still
don't
know. He's shown good signs, and he's shown very poor signs. And even on a team like Portland or New Orleans, like, if you put Jordan Clarkson in that I don't even know what his last name is, the third guard for Portland, and on New Orleans, if you brought him off the bench instead of Rondo and you had Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore, and Jordan Clarkson as your, like, guard rotation, that's pretty solid.
And you put, like, the other thing is, like, you wouldn't really have to give up if you were another NBA team, like, much to get him. Like, some of these guys, like, Cleveland's interested to be, like, rumored to be interested in George Hill. Like,
that's
Kings
who the backup
gonna,
was. I was going to say that, but I forgot who the exact player was.
The Kings are going to, like, they're going to want stuff for George Hill. Like, they got him on a really good contract.
They signed him for a reason. They're not just going to, like, sign him and then be like, oh, we'll pay you still just here.
And they know that Cleveland's desperate. And so, like, the reason that a guy like Clarkson is appealing is because not only can he, like, the Lakers Clippers are looking to move him, but it's not because he's not a helpful player. Yeah. He can actually help, but you wouldn't have to give up much for him. And so I can see over the next couple weeks, like, I could see a chance that he gets traded just for basketball reasons, and the Lakers don't have to attach, like, an asset to him if he continues to play like this. I could see, like, a team saying, okay, this is a guy that we want to get in our system. Because it's not like he's a playbook guy either. Like, he's just succeeding on the strength of the Lakers system or something like that, or because he knows it so well. He's a guy that you put him in the pick and roll, and that's where he's going to go to work. And that's, like, that's about the extent of his, like, or, like, as a secondary attacker or whatever. Like, he's not a guy that has to run around a bunch of screens and, like, all of that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And especially with the way that Lakers fans and the Lakers organization wants to go, they're trying to look to bring in big free agents. I know every player under the sun has been rumored, whether it's either of the big men in New Orleans, whether it's LeBron, Paul George, Westbrook, whoever you want to
put. Time-traveling
Michael Jordan. Just put the entire Western All-Star team on the Lakers, but he's not going to have a role there. Like, if they're bringing in all these big-name players with... They want Lonzo to be maybe not the franchise player, but a cornerstone in their franchise. Yeah. Ingram, they're not getting rid of him because he's shown obvious upside, whatever they decide to do with Randall. And then,
and that's without even mentioning Kuzma, who's like been not as good lately, but he's been banged up.
We literally haven't even said his name, but he's been great. He's been something they didn't probably expect him to be. No. And then you have Nance, you have whatever you think of the young guys. I don't think Thomas Bryant or, what is it, Ivica Zubac?
It's Ivica Zubac.
Ivica, okay, I tried. Yeah. So I think on a team that's desperate for bench scoring or just bench guard play, he would fit in great. And like you said, there's no high asking price because it's like, it's Jordan Clarkson.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't know. Like, the Lakers might try and get frisky and be like, you have to give us a first round pick, in which case the other GM's going to laugh and hang up.
Like, I don't think any GM in the league or owner, like, with how DeMarcus Cousins got packaged, Vivek Ranadive really liked Buddy Hield. He was like, he's going to be the next Steph Curry. No one's saying that about Clarkson, but then again, no one's saying that about Hield.
It just takes one idiot.
Yeah, like, not even one idiot. Just like, if there are no idiots, the asking price is low, which it should be.
Yeah, if the asking price is like, hey, we want an expiring. Yeah. Like, we don't even need a pick. Then, like, that he can help a team for an expiring.
Oh, definitely.
And so I want to get into, like, one more thing from this game and then take an iTunes question really quickly here in a second. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about from this game was Randall and Lopez got another start together. That's been like an inconsistent starting lineup for the Lakers. Lopez came off the bench last game, and then was back in with the starters this game. Him and Randall, I think, scored the Lakers' first 18 points. It was something like that. They looked really, really good out there. Lopez ended up finishing the game with 14, shot 4 of 6 from 3. Randall went 11 of 17 from the field for 27 points, and they just... It's one of those things where it still boggles my mind that it took this long for it to start to happen, because just basketball-wise, they make so much sense next to each other. And because Lopez is the exact type of center that you want next to Randall.
Yeah, of course.
He can shoot the three,
so
he can space for him on offense.
You just want someone who's not on the block.
Exactly.
Because that's what Randall needs to do. He has no perimeter game, so he needs to get inside.
Yeah, and so whether by driving or by post-up. Yeah. And so Lopez can space the floor. And then on defense, Lopez is a really, really underrated defender.
Oh,
he can defend the rim in ways that Randall doesn't really. And Randall's gotten better as a help defender and, like, on switches and things like that. But just, if you're looking for a guy to put next to Randall, it's Lopez. And they haven't done it a lot this year. In your kind of time watching the Lakers, or just your, like, knowledge of those players, like what do you see any reason to not pair them up more?
I think that as far as their construction of their team, it makes the most sense because, like you said, Lopez can space the floor and Randall needs that space. The thing with Lopez is, I checked on Basketball Reference today. I think, obviously, before this game, he took 6 threes, so it looks like he's this, like, big man that only plays on the perimeter, but I think he's only attempting, like, 1 three a game around there.
Yeah.
Because
they had him inside more to start the year because they were playing him with Kuzma or they were trying to space the floor with Nance, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's not what you wanted him for. You didn't bring Brook Lopez to town for him to post up and take
I think Rob Pelinka mentioned that Lopez had hit 174 threes approximately 174 times during his intro press conference. And it's like, it just made no sense.
Yeah.
And, like, they're starting to figure out that it makes sense, you think, but then you don't know. Because, like, I think the only maybe basketball argument for not starting Randall and Lopez when they're both healthy is if the other team just is playing, like, starting really small and, you know, something like that. Or it's just that you really don't want Larry to play backup center. In which case, I kind of get it. but it's not really the best argument. Like, because Larry Nance Jr. has kind of shown, like, Larry deserves credit because he and Randall have been really bad for the most part this season playing together. They were really good today against the Knicks. It was just, like, the right lineup combination, or they were just hot or whatever. It worked. And so Larry has been playing better lately. He was helpful for the Lakers today, but he's really not a good backup center. Like, he doesn't defend the rim well enough.
No.
And so I think maybe that's the only argument, but, like, starting a worse player just so that, like, you have a slightly better bench situation has kind of been a consistent problem for Luke Walton, like, throughout his limited Lakers tenure.
Yeah.
And I just, it's something that I think we're always going to disagree on, even if I understand his reasoning.
The thing is, like, you guys don't really have a backup center. Like,
no, they want to play small. They want to play with Randall as backup center.
That's fine. But, like, you could see on games, like you said, when teams go small, just take Lopez out of the lineup and put either Kuzma or Nance.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how, if Kuzma's been starting most of the games or being brought off the bench.
He started some games. I'd say him, Randall, and Nance have probably each, if I had to guess right now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, they probably each started about a third of the games.
Okay, I think that's fair. I mean, I think Kuzma's the best player now, and I think he will continue to be the best player. That's just because I'm not that high on Randall. I loved him going into college, even in college, and then I thought he could be a good pro. I actually wanted the Celtics to draft him instead of Marcus Smart. But
Lakers fans, thank you for that one.
Yeah. I actually, that was, I think I was in like 9th or 10th grade when that happened. There was a video on my Instagram of me screaming at the TV when you guys drafted, when you guys drafted Randall and we got Marcus Smart. So I was like, what does Marcus Smart do? But that's besides the point.
I think... Like, if it was me, I would start Lopez and Randall, yeah. And then you keep Randall in, you send Lopez to the bench, like, around the 6-minute mark, you bring Kuzma in to space the floor around Randall, and then when you come back, maybe in the second quarter by that point, or towards the end of the first, you go with Lopez and Nance, because I think, like, Nance really is only going to work if he's next to Lopez.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely just a situational thing, like, it's a game-by-game basis, like, you kind of have to watch who the other team is rotating in, because if they're putting someone super small, like a Warriors death lineup S, just a team that's going to go, like, sometimes when the Celtics go three guards, whether it's when they, like, before it was, like, they go Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, and then play one of their forwards in Al Horford. Like, when a team's doing that, you can afford to have Randall at the center. But if you're facing a team where, like the Pelicans, they have one of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins in virtually for all the game.
Yeah.
You need someone bigger out there who can defend the rim one and just play up with a bigger guy.
Yeah, and like in games like that, like, that's where you got to have Lopez, and that's where those are really the only games where the Lakers are going to miss Andrew Bogut, I think. Yeah. But it's honestly better for them if they throw Zubats or they throw Thomas Bryant out there to get those developmental minutes against guys like that anyway. And you're not going to play DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis every game in the NBA anymore, because there just aren't that many big guys that can hurt you that
bad. And there aren't that many big guys that are on the same team.
Yeah, and like Randall can, most 7-footers Randall can hold his own against. Boogie, he's been hit or miss again. Like, he's had times where he's really engaged. He's like he's like deflecting passes, entry passes, things like that. But then there are other games where DeMarcus Cousins is just dominated.
And that's the thing. Like, it's all game by game from the opponent and from the Lakers. Like, there are games where Randall just doesn't look interested. He's just like, I'm here. I'm going to go through my motions. And then if I miss my first three shots, like, I'm not.
And it's like, you know, you on some level, you can't blame him because the team has, like, completely de-invested itself from him and, like, basically all but come out and had a press conference saying we're not keeping Julius Randle.
Since his rookie year, even during his rookie year, all the news has just been, like, we don't know what we're going to do with him. Like, they've never given trust to him. Like, they've never said, we like you, we want to keep you. And you don't even have to believe that. Just say it. Make the guy you want to try. Because the thing is, like, he doesn't play his hardest because he doesn't think he has any he doesn't have any lasting power.
Yeah, I mean, the only time this season that, like, I've agreed with the way that Luke has handled him is when he first got into the starting lineup and he, like, completely stopped trying on defense. And it was like, oh, you know, maybe Luke did have a point. He was, like, trying to light a fire under his ass.
Yeah, definitely.
But other than that, it's been, like, it's kind of been baffling to see, like, how, like, much shorter of a leash he has than other players.
Yeah, and I don't think what you're looking for when we say that he needs to defend center, he doesn't need to be a plus defender. We're not saying, oh, he needs to be Draymond Green in order to play backup center.
Although, at times, he's been around that. He's not Draymond, but he's done, like, he's done, you know, he's been 99 cents for Draymond.
He's used his brain, You just need him to not be a minus defender. That's the problem, is when you put him in these three forward, two guard lineups with no actual established conventional center, he looks shaky. And you just need him to be not a minus. Just he doesn't need to be great. He just doesn't need to be. He needs to be not bad.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think on that note, like we kind of mentioned we mentioned a little bit free agency, because like that's the reason that Randall might not be back, and that's the reason why the Lakers were on move Clarkson. And so that we're going to finish up here with an iTunes question from the name is Punch Student, so that's interesting. And so he says, I'm curious if I'm the only person worried about this free agency plan that the Lakers have set in motion. Have we not shown by all unsuccessful NBA super teams, Thunder, Pelican, Cavs, Wolves, that development, Warriors, Rockets, Celtics, is a better way to build a team? I think I know Jared's opinion on this. Adding a star to a squad that has developed together versus assembling several mercenary stars has obviously not worked. Thoughts? So, as somebody on the outside, I'm curious for your take on this. Like, what do you think of the Lakers' plan? Like, are they just hopelessly grasping at straws? Or, like, I mean, do you think that there's a chance this works out?
Well, firstly, I want to address the point that he said, having in-house guys, and then mentioned the Rockets. None of those guys are in-house except for Clint Capella.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could argue Harden because, like, he was not really. They traded for him, and then he immediately broke out. It wasn't like he had a red shirt.
And it's not even that. They tried bringing people in. They had Dwight Howard there, and they tried to make it work. That lasted way longer than it should have. They were just like, we're going to try. They brought Eric Gordon in. They brought Ryan Anderson in. All of their players are brought in. So it's not... The only true in-house team is really the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, the Celtics, a little bit. They're on the fringe. They're showing the benefits of having guys that are homegrown on the fringes. Yeah. That are ready so that when you get one of those stars, you can plug them in and they're good.
The thing that the Celtics is different than... with a team like the Cavs or the old Heat, the Heatles, as people now like to call them, and teams like that, is they had an established core that was winning. I think the year before they got Horford, they were like 48 wins, maybe 46. They were not a contender, but a good team. They were a solid NBA team. And then they started adding people in. The thing with the Lakers is they're not good right now, and people just think, oh, we're going to bring one player in and we're going to be the two seed again.
Like, yeah.
That's not how it works all the time. And even with small teams like Minnesota, they had three good players. Whatever you think of Zach LaVine, even though he hasn't played in the last almost year, he's a good player. Wiggins is a good player. And Towns is a borderline...
Could be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, in the GM survey this year, he was like the number one player over Giannis, over Embiid, over everyone. Who would you start a franchise around under 25 or whatever?
Yeah.
Not LeBron, basically.
Yeah, basically, who is not LeBron or Steph would you like to start a franchise?
And they had 3 years where they all looked good and the team was still bad.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, it's coaching, let's get Flip Saunders out, let's get...
Tom Thibodeau
in, and they still weren't good.
Yeah.
And then now they have Jimmy Butler, and they weren't good for the beginning of the season. And everyone's like, this doesn't work, whatever, trade Wiggins, trade everybody, blow the entire organization up, move him to Seattle. And then they start winning, and everyone's like, this is the greatest idea ever. Jimmy Butler's a top 10 player in the league, which you can argue, but like, if the Timberwolves aren't winning,
no one's arguing that.
To say, like, it's really... hard to just think, one, that you can go out and get two big name free agents. Like, it's not often that you do something like Miami did. And the reason Miami did it is because they had one guy there already, and then he just called up his friends, like, let's get this going. Like, you're not gonna assemble the banana boat in the lake in LA.
Like, yeah, I mean, unless the only way it works, and I've said this the whole time, is, like, if Paul George and LeBron, who, like, we've heard from, like, various reports, run in different circles, they aren't, like, particularly close friends, way is, like, if they're like, okay, I want to play with you, and they have two max spots, let's go there, Lonzo will be the guy, like, the type of guy that will set us up, but that's like every single, like, domino falling exactly correctly.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't happen that often.
They preface it with all that needs to happen is, and then proceed to list 15 things.
Exactly. I just filibustered for 30 seconds on all the qualifiers that are the only way that ends up happening.
But that's all that needs to happen. It's like, you kind of need to temper your expectations. You need to take it. Like, you're not going to hit a home run every time you go to the plate.
So if you were I don't know. I've kind of went back and forth on this. I mean, obviously, if you can add a guy like LeBron or Paul George, you do it. But or DeMarcus Cousins, even. You do it. But if they can't get any of those guys, like, I just think, like, the worst possible outcome, you know, like, this question started out as, like, built versus bought, basically. But the worst possible outcome is, like, buying bad or buying overpriced. And we saw this 2 years ago with the Lakers.
The reason
they're having difficulty clearing cap space is because
they signed a top five center.
They signed Mozgov and they signed Deng to gigantic deals, thinking that the cap was never going to stop going up or that there would be an amnesty provision. Neither of those things happened. Yeah. They have to use D'Angelo Russell to get Mozgov out of town. If they want to ship out Deng, they're going to have to attach another young player to him or something to him to get a team to take him on. Nobody wants Luol Deng just by himself.
Yeah.
And, like, the worst possible outcome of this is the Lakers are like, Pelinka has said that they probably won't do, has said that they won't do this, but the last front office had been notorious for saying, we'll kick cap space forward until they didn't do it. And so, like, the worst outcome of this is they sign the next Mozgov. They sign the next Deng contract just because they're like, okay, well, our young guys showed a lot. If we just get this promising veteran in here, then they're going to push them over the top, or they're going to push us towards 8-seed contention.
Yeah.
And that's worst-case scenario to me for the Lakers.
Yeah. And I think the Lakers fans aren't focused on kind of hitting on the smaller rotational players that you guys need to get, because the thing with, like, a lot of this super team building is, of course, the reason they win is their stars. Like, no one's arguing that. But you can't have just three stars and then put the Lakers G League team as their reserves and expect to win. Like, we're seeing this right now with the Cavs. Obviously, the regular season is a different story, but they're struggling because they have LeBron, Kevin Love, and nobody else.
Yeah. Like, you need contributors.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to be great players,
but they
need to be guys that fit in well enough along, like, the puzzle pieces have to fit, basically.
Yeah,
and they have to be, like, made out of puzzle material and not, like, wet, like, paper or something. You know? Like, it has to be a piece from the right puzzle.
Like, Udonis Haslem started all of the years with the Heat, and he really did, like, he didn't grab a lot of rebounds. He had to sacrifice for Bosch and LeBron to get theirs. He didn't score a lot. All he did was everything the stars don't want to do, which is hustle, train the young guys, spend time developing other people and bringing the team together, and then the stars can handle the rest. It's kind of like what Amir Johnson did in Boston. They signed him. He doesn't put up, like, he maybe might have cracked, like, 15 points twice last season.
Yeah.
He doesn't rebound a lot, but he plays good defense. He'll take the bigger and better player, the bigger and better big on the other team. He'll do the same thing. Like, you just need to hit on those smaller players and then, like, get stars as well. Because you can bring in Paul George, but we're seeing, like, the Lakers, if they just bring in Paul George, they're not going to be as good as the Thunder are right now. And the Thunder are the 4-seed. And
Thunder have Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Carmelo Anthony, who isn't, you know, circa 2012 scoring title competition with Kevin Durant Carmelo Anthony, or even, like, the Western Conference Finals almost Denver Nugget Carmelo Anthony, but, like, it's still Carmelo Anthony, and they have good players. They have Steven Adams, who's an established...
Who's in exactly the type of guy that you were just talking about, that does the dirty work stuff.
And the puzzle piece thing is just, like, he fits everything they need.
The Lakers are starting to find some of those guys, I think. Like, that's where, like, all the Larry Nance Jr. hate, to me, like, I don't see it, because I get that he's not the most helpful player for this team right now, but on a contender or on a better team, Larry Nance Jr. is exactly the type of player that you want that just does all of these little things. It's just the Lakers need more from him, and he can't do those things. And so he's going to probably end up being a part of some other team's rise or some other contender at some point.
Yeah.
But they have a guy like that if they keep him around until they're good, then it's going to help them. And then they have a guy like Josh Hart, who is, like, a very low usage, like, he will go and spot up, like, actually, Pete Zayas of Laker Film Room had a great video out on him this weekend that you guys should all check out. You know, Hart, he just does these little, like, he defends bigs pretty well when he gets switched onto them. He keeps guys off the boards.
Yeah.
He tries to defend the perimeter well. He shoots threes really well. And, like, he knows where to move on offense. And, like, those are the types of guys that you got to be focused on finding when you have a young team like this. And so, of course, like, the Lakers, they want to sign these stars, but they can't, like, lose sight of that they need to have that as their backup plan of, like, finding young role players that guys want to play with. And then they say, like, oh, the Lakers have cap space again this year. These young guys are a little older. I'd like to play with them. They can contribute to winning basketball now.
Yeah.
And you go after that next generation of free agents rather than this current one.
Yeah. And I think the other thing with bringing in those players is putting them in the – knowing what role they need to be put in and placing them in a situation where they can succeed. Like, We saw, was Oladipo in Oklahoma City for 2 years or 1 year?
Just 1 year.
Okay. We saw that, okay, so he was in Orlando, and he was a number two pick for a reason. Obviously, it was kind of a weak draft, but he was up there for a reason. He played, he had flashes of things like triple-double, 30-point triple-doubles in Orlando, but Orlando, as we know, is horrible.
They're and will apparently always be bad.
Yeah, they're
at least until they groom the Lakers' next center.
Until they, yeah, until they draft Shareef O'Neal as a memento for...
Yeah,
Shaq.
And then he leaves for the Lakers.
Yeah. Maybe that's what you guys need to wait
for. The cycle
for.
Continues.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait for Shareef O'Neal, man.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to fix the Lakers in, like, what, like 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he, like, he was a good player, and then he went to the Thunder, and they had a good player. They just used him improperly. He started next to Westbrook, and he would kind of just get the 5 seconds left on the shot clock here, pass it out, and do something with it. And, like, as we're seeing right now in Indiana... Obviously, they're a bad team, and they don't have anyone else to give the ball to, but even if they had a traditional...
They actually aren't that bad. They're in the playoffs.
Well, they're in the playoffs.
Like, they're okay.
Still,
they're okay.
No one's...
I mean, they got, like, train-wrecked by the Lakers the other night, but that's because they were on the second night of a back-to-back
and
as much
the
as
the Lakers were playing at home.
And the Lakers were playing at home, and they're, like, pretty good right now.
But still, like... So, Darren Collison's a fine... He's a fine point guard. I wouldn't say... You're not... I don't think you're going to win a title or even compete for a title with Darren Collison as your starting point guard.
Never.
But... He's still traditional. He handles the ball. He's good. He facilitates. But we see that when you entrust more to Victor Oladipo and give him, like, this is what we need to do for you, not just, like, what you need to do on a night-to-night basis is determined by Russell Westbrook's play. When you give that him an established role, like, okay, this is what I need to work on, you see that it does well. So not only do they need to bring these players in, and even, like, drafting them, like
they need to develop them.
Yeah, they need to develop them. And, like, you have Kuzma and... What would be a waste for Kuzma is just to kind of, like, I don't know, not give him the ball. There was a while, like, when he put up those three straight games, was it 25 or...
Yeah, it was something like that.
Like, the reason he was doing that is because he was getting the ball more.
Yep.
And that's what he needs to be doing. He's not a defensive...
He's shown he can score at the NBA level.
Yeah, of course.
The other things he's going to have to figure out, but he can score.
Yeah, and that's what he knows he can score, they know he can score, and they're in unison with that. They're like, that's what we're going to use you for. And that's what they need to... They need to find... These little underground players, not necessarily underground, just not superstar.
Just
all-star.
Outside of the lottery,
yeah.
Like outside of free agency, they need to nail these like role players that they can find a niche for.
Yeah, you need to find players that average NBA fans, not like diehards, can look at him and be like, oh, he's a good player.
Yeah, exactly. And Kuzma's there. And Lonzo, I think, will be there soon. He's not there right now because there's a lot, like, people really only pay attention to shooting percentage.
Yeah.
And, like, he hasn't been good in that aspect.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and Ingram has been, like, massively improved this year from his first year.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're starting to hit on some of this stuff. They're starting to get some of the role players that we talked about. But they just have to keep that rolling. They can't, like, sacrifice it in free agency if they whiff on the big names.
Yeah.
And so I think that'll do it for this episode of Locked On Lakers. Jared, thank you for coming on. What is your new professional Twitter account at to plug so that people can go either send you their hatred or follow you or whatever it may be?
My new professional Twitter is at by Jared Eprem. So by B-Y, my name, J-A-R-E-D-E-P-R-E-M. I literally just started it yesterday because Harrison was on my case for like 3 months. Just say, create a professional Twitter account for you. So I finally did. I haven't really used it much yet. I kind of live tweeted Cal State Fullerton's basketball game last night at Long Beach State. But other than that, yeah, I think I'm following like 35 accounts and I have 7 followers.
Well, we're going to try and boost that up for you.
Yeah,
just
give
promise,
me
10K
by tonight. 10K.
Okay, I don't even have 10K yet. I don't know if I can promise that, but... yeah, I mean, like, you just promise them that you'll tweet some NBA stuff, too, rather
definitely.
Than just Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah, I'm going to be tweeting everything, as Harrison revealed. I am a Celtics fan, so that's predominantly the games that I'm watching. The NFL season's...
That's a lie. You have League Pass on every single night when we're in the newsroom.
Well, but I watch, like, when there are days where I'm not in the newsroom and I have to, like, okay, I can only watch one game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm putting the Celtics on.
Unless it's... I mean, it makes you a bad person, but it's fair.
That's fine. I'll take it.
Okay, so like I said, that'll wrap it up for us. We will see if Anthony's back tomorrow. Send positive vibes his way, and I will talk to you guys later.